Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, first from chapter 6, and then we'll move on to chapter 11. Hear the word of the Lord. We have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. We thank God for the reading of his word. Hope is not optimism. Hope is not optimism. Hope is not merely wishing for something better while sitting on the couch and crossing our fingers. Hope has nothing to do with complacency or waiting for something better to come along. Hope is an action. Hope is an action word, believe it or not. Hope is a deeply action-oriented emotion or belief that guides us to move towards something that is restorative, higher, and superior from what is here and now. Hope is saying that the status quo is unacceptable. It is a belief that stepping forward can make something happen. Combining that activity of hope with a trust of faith in God gives us the courage and strength to keep looking and moving ahead, even if what we are hoping for doesn't fully realize itself. Hope is the mood that undergirds faith. The writer of Hebrews reveals the action of hope in the story of Abraham and his faith. Abraham was a person whose hope was centered firmly in God's promises. He didn't always know where he was headed, but he knew who was going with him. His faith gave him hope, which affected his whole way of living, his way of understanding what to do. It affected his way of surrendering. What could be seen now, he had to surrender to invest in a future where God's connection to humans could be deeper and more life-giving. His hope in God could be seen by what Abraham was willing to risk. Hope is understood then in the concrete ways we ourselves make ourselves vulnerable to losing in order to gain something greater. We look at the story of Abraham. He risked the status quo. This man living in Ur, an area where civilization began, an area of affluence, could have been content to live out his days with his ancestors where they had lived and prospered for generations. Abraham possessed wealth and status and security. It would have been quite comfortable to continue living in that security of a lifestyle and culture to which he had grown accustomed, to be around the people he had grown to be accustomed. But he gave that up. He risked change. He did this because God's presence was the most assured reality in his life. There were numerous reasons why he should stay where he was and declare his own comfort mattered, and there was only one reason to go: the call of God. I've called this sermon Hope in 2025. For I sense that in this year, we are desperate to keep things comfortable in an uncomfortable and uncertain world. The Americans south of us have been sold a story of making themselves great again, trying to lean into an imagined past era where they were wealthy, white, and the Christian majority. So, does that speak to Canada? To London? To us? I heard this week that we have a bunch of men here in London parading around as white nationalists. The CBC reports that they took a photo of themselves nearby, and they stood also in front of our city hall. And as was reported, they declared that the red ensign flag, which only some of you may remember, pre-1965, the red ensign flag, which was the precursor to our red and white maple leaf, the white nationalists call it Canada's true flag, representing the country before they say it was spoiled by immigrants. Is that the Canada we want? White nationalism is the extreme for Canadians, but it speaks to the terribleness of trying to cling desperately to our possessions, our old habits, our self-interested comforts, to make room for others with new ways and new ideas and faith that would surprise us all. Christian hope moves forward to accept a new and open world when there are many who would want to scream for privilege and power. Hope says there must be changes for the betterment of all, for all, because God is concerned for all. Of course, it's hard in the midst of tariffs and looming economic downturns with an unpredictable and narcissistic so-called world leader. It is hard because it does put the status quo into jeopardy. And this world is now threatened in too many countries, near and far, by those who rule by the exercise of threats and force and violence, while families die and starve and flee. How does hope operate in such times? Richard Rohr says this: the best criticism of the bad is the practice of the better. The best criticism of the bad is the practice of the better. Hope for this world is stepping out with God towards the better with courage and peacefulness, with mercy, and not with fear and exclusion. Our passage today has more to say about actionable hope through Abraham. Abraham also was a sojourner. He risked being a sojourner. The writer of Hebrews tells us that by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. A sojourner is one who is just passing through, a person who is dwelling temporarily in a place. Abraham left his life of permanency in Ur to dwell in tents and wander in a place which was promised to him and his children, but where he would not actually settle nor own. He remained a nomad, set apart from those around him, not acquiring their ways or gods. But he lived among them, and he placed his hope not so much in a land to inherit, but as Scripture says, in the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham looked beyond the material things of his day, beyond that which he could touch and see, to a place where he knew and he would be, where he knew he would be home, and that was with God in the eternal city. You and I are sojourners too. Some of you have risked a lot, left familiar ways, and come a long, long way here to Canada. And some of us have been here, but it's been changing. We don't belong, though, to this world, and our security is not found in the things of this world. What motivates us and moves us forward into the unknown is the fact that we know and love a Savior who has prepared a place for us with God the Father. And we are different. We are to be different. If our hope is an action, hope will be seen in how we sojourn through life. Peace and satisfaction does not come from money or fame and power achieved in this world. Isaac Singer, after many years of writing, won the Nobel Prize for Literature at the age of 73. He said he was happy after his 1978 Nobel selection. But 20 minutes later, he felt like the same man with the same worries and the same troubles. As sojourners, we are confronted by the temporary, the things that give us momentary happiness, the things that worry us, the things that can be fleeting or seem in their troubles to last too long. But hope looks beyond that. Our travel through this time and space is based on hope and eternal values. Again, I'm thinking of 2025. Admittedly, things are crazy scared, with rising unemployment, with declining finances in the face of inflation, crazy scary with climate change, of floods and droughts, Who knew that the coastal shores of Newfoundland could have wildfires that are raging right now? Is it not crazy scary to see so much pain and poverty and killing and destruction globally? Things are wildly uncertain in 2025, but the one certainty is that God still loves and still journeys with us wherever we go and with whatever we face. In our hope, we can keep moving with hope in our hearts and have joy and gratefulness, because our values are not the values of power and money here. Our hope in God revealed through Christ speaks up for justice. It speaks up to support agencies helping the homeless and world relief. It speaks up for the minority around us. It speaks up when we feel like our majority is dwindling, and we embrace those who are different. While others look away and maybe stay quiet at injustices and treat the stranger with suspicion and contempt, hope in Christ says we are called to action as we walk this earth. We love more. We are kind more. We give more. Because we are sojourners here. Because we hope in a life beyond this dust and dirt. Hope in the resurrection of Christ must give us strength in the present. Can we trust God so much so that we can show up in our present lives with the eternal values of love and compassion and justice? We may look foolish being out of step with the secular world of greed and hate and fear that drives that greed and fear. We may look foolish, but we will still act. We will still act with sacrifice and giving and being open to moving to somewhere different. We can do that when we have hope grounded in God's promises of abundant life through Christ, an abundant life that is beyond capitalism and self-interest and self-protection. Sojourners hope in a world that is eternal and unseen, longing for something beyond what is visible. Therefore, our actions to be kind, to be grateful, to be curious, to be open, and to make a difference is built into this whole idea of hope. In her book, Hope in the Dark, Rebecca Solnit says, "Hope is not a lottery ticket we clutch waiting for luck. Hope is not a lottery ticket we clutch waiting for luck." She says it is an action. Hope is an action to break down doors in an emergency. In many ways, 2025 is an emergency. We are a people of faith in that emergency. And it is true that the best way to confront the bad is to practice the better. And to do that, we must have hope. and hope is an action. Let us pray. God, you are a still point in our whirling world. And we would huddle close to you and sense your love and your compassion. But we also sense that the hope that you place in us, hope to risk, hope to see beyond what is visible, the hope that calls us to action, we know we are safe to move forward. And thank you, God, for each one here in this time and space, and the challenge to have hope in a world that is so full of fear. In the powerful name of Christ, we pray. Amen.